In a logo, a square tumbles toward a blue light. Ladder shapes follow. One ladder shape attaches to the square side, forming a strip of film. Another attaches at an angle. Words appear. New Line Cinema, a Time Warner company. Now, curly-cued words appear as snowflakes drift by. New Line Cinema presents Guy Walks Into a Bar Production. On a glittery white landscape of cartoony trees, a leather-bound book opens.
Oh, hello. You're probably here about the story.
An elf faces us.
Elves love to tell stories. I bet you didn't know that about elves.
He wears yellow tights.
Probably a lot of things you didn't know about elves. Another interesting elfism. There are only three jobs available to an elf.
White fur trims his coat.
The first is making shoes at night while the old cobbler sleeps.
Lazy bum. Couldn't even make a clog.
You can bake cookies in a tree.
A tree catches on fire.
As you can imagine, it's dangerous having an oven in an oak tree during the dry season.
I want to make shoes!
But the third job, some call it...
In a workshop.
The show, or the big dance. It's the profession that every elf aspires to. And that is to build toys in Santa's workshop.
Only 2 weeks left till Christmas.
It's a job only an elf can do. Our nimble fingers, natural cheer, and active minds are perfect for toy building. They tried using gnomes and trolls, but the gnomes drank too much. And the trolls weren't toilet trained. No human being has ever set foot in Santa's workshop. That is until about 30 years ago, and as you may have guessed, that's where our story begins.
Our view of the plain-faced narrator turns into a storybook illustration. Now, titles appear on turning pages, decorated with snowflakes. A film by Jon Favreau, Will Ferrell, James Caan, Elf. More pages show ribbons, presents, and ornaments. Zooey Deschanel, Mary Steenburgen, Daniel Tay. In stop motion, a toy penguin ice skates into view with a sign, with Edward Asner and Bob Newhart. More pages show an elf startled by a jack-in-the-box and another elf surfing on gumdrops. Casting by Susie Ferris. Visual effects supervisor, Joe Bauer. A claymation polar bear and walrus paint a sign. Music by John Debney. More illustrations depict elves in a snow fort and winding up to throw snowballs. Costume designer, Laura Jean Shannon. Edited by Dan Lebenthal. Production designer, Rusty Smith. Now pages show a candy cane forest. Director of photography, Greg Gardner. Co-producer, David Householder. The toy penguin drags in a tall card topped with a bow. He drops the corner on his toe. Executive producers, Toby Emmerich, Kent Alterman, Cale Boyter. Executive producers, Jimmy Miller, Julie Wixon-Darmody. One card lands flat on the penguin. Produced by John Berg, Todd Komarnicki, Shauna Robertson. Written by David Barenbaum. Directed by Jon Favreau. Described by Matthew Warren Lang, Dutch Priest, Stacey Perlman, and Kate O'Toole. Read by Jake Eberly. Now in a real nursery, a row of cribs lines a wall. A nun places a diapered baby in one. As he drinks from a bottle, she tucks him in.
It's time to go to sleep. Maybe by next Christmas you'll have a home.
The kind-faced nun raises the side of the crib and locks it in place.
Merry Christmas, my angel.
She leaves him, crossing the nursery's shiny hardwood floor toward a Christmas tree lit with small white lights. In the fireplace, soot drops from the chimney, followed by a velvety sack. In the crib, the baby looks to the hearth. Two black boots and a pair of legs clad in red pants drop into sight. As Santa Claus makes his way to the Christmas tree, the baby grips the crib bars and sits up to watch. Now, Santa finds a glass of milk and a plate of cookies on a diaper cart. The baby stands in the crib and eyes a teddy bear peeking from the toy sack on the floor. Santa turns around. His face lit by moonlight, he scans the motionless room and snacks on a cookie. As he turns his back to the room, one crib lies empty. Now the curious baby crawls across the floor. In the baby's crawling view, we scoot closer and closer to the teddy bear in Santa's toy sack. Now in the workshop, two elves toast with eggnog. As an elf supervisor congratulates workers, others dance. Santa gets their attention. He's twice their height.
We've had another very successful year. So, after all that hard work, it's time to start preparations for next Christmas.
As the elves jubilantly get busy, Santa notices his nearby toy sack move. He squints at it.
What in the name of Sam Hill is that?
The elves stop their work for a look. The smiley baby crawls out onto the workshop floor. As Santa stares, the baby kicks his feet. An elf, only slightly bigger than the baby, reads a label.
Little Buddy Diapers.
His name is Buddy. He must have snuck into your sack at the orphanage. What do we do?
So, Santa had a decision to make. Fortunately, when it comes to babies, Santa's a pushover. So Buddy stayed with an older elf who had always wanted a child, but had been so committed to building toys, he had forgotten to settle down. Santa! Yes, I raised Buddy. I was his adopted father.
The toddler fills his lap.
Though Buddy grew twice as fast, he wasn't any different from the other children.
Now bigger, he rides a tricycle.
Too fast, Buddy.
In a classroom.
I mean, not really.
Now, before we learn how to build the latest in extreme graphic chipset processors, let's recite the code of the elves, shall we? Number one.
Treat every day like Christmas.
Number two.
There's room for everyone on the nice list.
Number three.
The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Buddy barely fits in his desk.
And one day, when Buddy was old enough, I made him my own personal apprentice.
Never been in this room before.
Well, I think it's time you start your tinker training.
Buddy's papa turns on a workroom light.
Santa's sleigh.
If you're going to help me make it fly.
The curly-haired and fully grown Buddy beams.
I thought the magical reindeer made the sleigh fly.
And where did the reindeer get their magic from?
Christmas spirit. Everybody knows that.
Well, as silly as it sounds, a lot of people down south don't believe in Santa Claus.
What? Who do they think puts all their toys under the tree?
Well, there's a rumor floating around that that the parents do it.
That's ridiculous. I mean, parents couldn't do that all in one night. What about Santa's cookies? I suppose parents eat them too?
Yeah, I know. I know. And every year, less and less people believe in Santa Claus. I mean, we have a real energy crisis on our hands.
Oh.
I mean, just see how low the clausometer is.
A gauge needle points to 15.
That's shocking.
That's why I came up with this little beauty in the 60s.
Buddy's papa flips three switches and pushes a button.
What is it?
It's a Kringle 3000. A 500 reindeer power jet turbine engine. Without it, the sleigh couldn't get more than a few feet off the ground.
The jet sparks and fails. Buddy recoils.
Well, looks like we got a short on the thermocoupler. You want to give me a hand with that?
You want me to help?
As much as Buddy was accepted by his family and friends, there were a few drawbacks to being a human in an elf's world.
Now, at a low table, Buddy wears a fretful expression as he scoops gray dust into an unassembled Etch-a-Sketch. Fitting the front in place, he taps the corners with a tiny hammer. Buddy notices his supervisor watching.
Hey, Ming Ming. I'm gonna be a little bit short on today's quota.
It's all right, Buddy. Just how many Etch-a-Sketches did you get finished?
Buddy gives a sickly frown.
Come on, Buddy, how many?
I made, 85.
The other elves working at the table stop and stare. Ming Ming unscrolls a spreadsheet.
85? That puts you 915 off the pace.
Why don't you just say it? I'm the worst toy maker in the world. I'm a cotton-headed ninny-muggins.
No, buddy. You're not a cotton head in any muggins. We all just have different talents, that's all.
Seems like everyone else has the same talents except for me.
You have lots of talents. Special talents, in fact. Like, special talents?
You changed batteries in the smoke detector?
Sure did. Triple A's. And in 6 months, you'll have to check them again. Won't you?
And you're the only baritone in the elf choir. You bring us down a whole octave.
In a good way.
See, buddy, you're not a cotton-head in any muggins. You're just special.
Now a sign reads, toy testing.
And so, Buddy was sent where the special elves work.
Buddy recoils at a jack-in-the-box, sets it aside, and makes notes. He cranks an identical jack-in-the-box. Buddy jots a note and puts the functioning toy aside. He tries a third jack-in-the-box. Buddy winces in anticipation. His face relaxes and he makes a note on his pad. He slams the toy. Now with Ming Ming.
Hey, Foom Foom. I hate to do this to you, but you think you can help me pick up the slack on those Etch-a-Sketches?
No problem.
I appreciate it. Buddy is killing me. I already got Lum Lum and Choo Choo pulling doubles.
Buddy overhears.
Quick thinking yesterday with that special talents thing.
I feel bad for the guy. Just hope he doesn't get wise.
Well, if he hasn't figured out he's a human by now, I don't think he ever will.
Buddy stands with his head among the rafters. His image distorts.
If he hasn't figured out he's a human by now, I don't think he ever will.
He remembers an elf forcing a shoe on his toe.
I think they're too small.
He bathes cramped in a tiny tub and shower.
You're just special.
He stoops under the shower head. Now in footy pajamas, Buddy scratches his bum, sleeping in two elf beds. An elf choir photo shows his head out of frame. In another, he slam dunks a basketball in an elf-sized gymnasium. Now the smiley jack-in-the-box distorts. An elf co-worker faces Buddy.
You don't look so good, Buddy. Are you okay?
I'll be okay. I just need a glass of water.
He falls like a tree, flattening the elf on the floor.
Buddy!
Now Buddy flees across a quaint snowy landscape dotted with pine trees and chalet-style buildings. He hurries through a door two-thirds his size, upsets a tiny dining table, and takes shelter in a tiny bathroom. Sitting on a tiny toilet, his knees almost touch the sink.
Buddy, are you okay?
I'm sorry, Papa. Just need some alone time.
Buddy, I think we have to talk.
Now he dominates Papa's lap.
Buddy, I think there's something I probably should tell you. You should have found out a long time ago.
I then proceeded to tell Buddy of how his father had fallen in love.
A photo shows a couple.
He was very young with a beautiful girl named Susan Wells, and how Buddy was born and put up for adoption by his mother, and how she had later passed away. I told him his father had never even known that Buddy was born. And most importantly, I told him where his father was, in a magical land called New York City.
My dad works there?
Empire State Building.
He shows Buddy a New York snow globe. Outside, Buddy shambles past the toy penguin, polar bear, and walrus.
Hey, Buddy, want to pick some snowberries?
Not now, Arctic Puffin.
Buddy halts before a genteel snowman.
Hello, Buddy.
Oh, hi, Leon.
Why the long face, partner?
It seems I'm not an elf.
Of course you're not. You're 6'3" and had a beard since you were 15.
Papa says my real father lives in a magical place far away. I don't know what to do.
At least you have a daddy. I was just rolled up one day and left out here in the cold.
But the thing is, I've never even left the North Pole.
Buddy, I've been around the world many times when I was a young cumulus nimbus cloud. It's a wonderful place filled with wondrous creatures, except dogs. Oh, by the way, don't eat the yellow snow.
Oh, I know that.
All I'm saying is this might be the golden opportunity to find out who you really are.
Buddy considers. Nighttime, with Santa in the workshop.
So, I hear you're going on a little journey to the big city.
Yep. Kind of nervous. Leon says New York is pretty different.
Oh, don't pay attention to Leon. He's never been anywhere. He doesn't have any feet. I've been to New York thousands of times.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What's it like?
Well, there are some things you should know. First off, you see gum on the street, leave it there. It's not free candy.
Oh.
Second, there are like 30 Ray's pizzas. They all claim to be the original, but the real one's on 11th. And if you see a sign that says Peep Show, that doesn't mean that they're letting you look at presents before Christmas.
Can't wait to see my dad. We're gonna go ice skating and eat sugar plums.
Yeah, that's the other thing I wanted to talk to you about. You know, buddy, your father, well, he's on the naughty list.
Our view swoops to a book open to the name Walter Hobbs, now in an office.
You're taking the books back?
See, I see what you're trying to do here. You're trying to make me feel bad when, in actuality, you're the one that missed the payments.
He faces a nun.
Children love the books.
I know that. You know, I'm the one that ran the focus groups, but I like hearing that.
Listen.
Back with Santa.
Some people, they just lose sight of what's important in life. That doesn't mean they can't find their way again, huh? Maybe all they need is just a little Christmas spirit.
Yeah! Yeah! Well, I'm good at that.
I know you are.
Santa steps away, revealing Papa Elf standing nearby with a large New York snow globe in both hands. Papa Elf offers the snow globe to Buddy, who accepts it. It looks smaller in Buddy's human-sized hands.
I'll always be here for you.
Buddy sadly leans down and hugs his papa close. They wear matching green frock coats and hats.
Now, go.
Buddy exits into the night air. Wearing his curly-tipped shoes, he crosses among the pine trees and chalets and waves to the toy walrus, penguin, and polar bear.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Buddy.
Bye, Buddy. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Buddy hops onto an ice block.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Buddy.
As Buddy floats away on the ice, a spiral-grooved tusk arises from the water. The toy animals flee. The tusk juts from the head of a whale.
Bye, Buddy. Hope you find your dad.
Thanks, Mr. Narwhal. Bye.
As the narwhal sinks back below the surface, Buddy sits cross-legged on his ice raft and faces the glowing horizon ahead. Daytime. Buddy hops ashore near a candy cane forest. Later, we sweep over tall, snowy pine trees and a meandering stream. Mountain peaks pass to our left. Then we see Buddy's solitary form marching steadily along a high glacial ridge. Later, still wearing his yellow tights and green frock coat, Buddy crosses a sunny glade. He follows a snowy path flanked by underbrush. A real raccoon crosses his path.
Hey! What's your name? My name's Buddy.
As Buddy leans down, the raccoon rears up and bares his sharp teeth.
Does someone need a hug?
As Buddy spreads his arms wide and moves in, the animal lunges ferociously.
I just wanted a hug!
Later, Buddy hikes a forest's damp, leaf-covered floor and arrives at a paved road. Buddy stops, exhales a misty breath, looks both ways, and starts down the wet asphalt. Later, buses and cars pass through the Lincoln Tunnel, where Buddy sidesteps fearfully along a maintenance walkway, with his back flat to the wall. Now he makes it into the sunlight. Shielding his eyes, he spies the sun peeking behind the silhouette of the Empire State Building.
And every time it rains, and it's from heaven.
Now he walks among New Yorkers in his elf getup.
Hi. Hello!
He waves to a man hailing a cab, squirms as he gets a shoe shine, and happily accepts flyers from solicitors.
Thank you.
Now he stops to read a diner's neon sign. It reads, "World's Best Cup of Coffee." Buddy rushes inside.
You did it! Congratulations! World's best cup of coffee. Great job, everybody. It's great to meet you.
He smiles at a customer.
Hi.
Later, he hops across walks painted white bars right into flowing traffic. He hops back the way he came. Now he runs around and around in a revolving door. Exiting to the street, he smiles queasily at passers-by, then hurries to a wastebasket and doubles over. He wipes his chin, composes himself, and returns enthusiastically to the revolving door. Back with the solicitors, Buddy ping-pongs between two men, accepting flyer after flyer. One guy shoos him away.
Hey, you know what? No.
Thank you.
No. All right, get out of here. Get out of here.
Now Buddy halts, carrying Papa Elf's snow globe. He holds it up, matching its watery scene to the real Empire State Building. Now he crosses the landmark's lofty marble lobby. Two American flags, a pair of luxurious Christmas trees, and a plaque of inlaid chrome hold him transfixed. A set of Art Deco elevator doors part. Buddy enters the car and curiously looks in all directions. As the elevator shuts, he fails to escape. The doors reopen, and a businessman enters.
Hello.
The newcomer pushes a button, and Buddy gawks at its glow. He lights a button.
Oh, beautiful.
With a thrilled smile, Buddy pushes two more. Now he runs his hands down the entire panel, lighting all of the buttons. The businessman eyes him skeptically, but keeps to himself.
Looks like a Christmas tree.
Now in Walter's office.
A reprint.
Walter throws down a book.
You know how much that's going to cost?
Two whole pages are missing. The story doesn't make any sense.
Well, you think some kid's gonna notice two pages? I mean, all they do is look at pictures.
In the hall.
Sorry I can't ride with you the rest of the way up, but this is where my dad works. Well, have a good time. Oh, I forgot to give you a hug.
Well, I don't know, Connie. I've never declawed kittens before. How many? Eight?
A secretary winces.
I don't know if I'm gonna have time. Well, all right, just bring them by the camper this weekend. I'll see what I can do. I'm not going to charge you. Just bring them by and I'll see what I can do.
Buddy faces her.
Excuse me. I'm here to see a Walter Hobbs. I'm Buddy the Elf.
You look hilarious. Who sent you?
Papa Elf.
Papa Elf?
Mm-hmm. From the North Pole.
From the North Pole?
Yes.
So you really think we should ship him?
No. I think we should take a $30,000 bath so some kid can understand what happened to a puppy and a friggin' pigeon. Ship him. Yeah.
Mr. Hobbs, it's me on the intercom.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think someone sent you a Christmas gram.
Dad!
Walter's employee lets Buddy in.
All right, let's get it over with.
I walked all day and night to find you.
You look like you came from the North Pole.
That's exactly where I came from. Santa must have called you.
Oh, yeah, sure. He just got off the cell phone with me.
You did?
So, go on.
Go on with what?
Well, are you going to sing a song or something, or can I just go back to work?
A song?
Walter's employees gather in the doorway.
Yeah. Anything for you, Dad. I'm here with my dad, and we never met, and he wants me to sing him a song. And I was adopted, but you didn't know I was born. So I'm here now. I found you, Daddy. And guess what? I love you. I love you. I love you.
Well, that was weird. Usually you guys just, put my name in the jingle bells or something.
It's me, your son. Susan Wells had me, and she didn't tell you. And but now I'm here. It's me, Buddy.
Susan Wells. You said Susan Wells?
Yes.
Who sent this Christmas gram?
What's a Christmas gram? I want one.
I think we should call security.
Good idea.
I like to whisper, too.
Guards remove Buddy.
It's okay. Walter's my father.
Well, your dad's busy right now.
Okay, I'll come back later.
Yeah, you know, you're not going to come back for a while, okay? You're going to go back to Santa Land.
Okay.
Yeah, why don't you go back to Gimbel's?
The two guards watch him go. Now, Buddy stops and stares at a five-story nutcracker and big red bow decorating the mammoth building of Gimbel's department store. With lilting steps, Buddy starts across the street. A taxi hits him. Buddy springs to his feet.
Sorry. Sorry.
That's really nice. People like that.
Oh, I think so.
Now Buddy enters Gimbel's in his elf outfit. He treads past decorated trees and lit display cases. Now in the perfume and cosmetics section, a saleswoman greets him.
Passion fruit spray?
Fruit spray? Sure.
He spritzes it in his mouth. He gives the bottle back. Now Buddy faces an escalator. As shoppers brush past him, he watches the grooved walkway cycling at their feet. More shoppers sidle past him.
Sorry.
He makes an attempt to step on, but nervously turns away.
Sorry.
A line forms behind him. He plants a foot briefly on the steps, then backs off.
If you want to go?
Gripping the handrails, Buddy gets one foot on. His other foot stays behind, and the escalator draws him into a split. The other foot drags onto the steps, and he ascends, frozen in a leaping position. Now, in a bathroom, he peeks over a stall divider.
Hey! Have you seen these toilets? They're ginormous!
Now he reads a display.
That special someone.
Buddy eyes Christmassy lingerie with red breast cups trimmed in white ostrich feathers.
Hey, come here.
Hey.
Yes.
A floor manager marches toward him.
What are you doing down here? You're not supposed to be down here. You shop on your break. You don't come get upstairs.
Okay, I didn't know.
Well, you should know.
Later.
Are you mad at me?
No.
Sure?
Yes, I'm sure. Just do your job.
Okay.
They enter a Santa Land apartment.
Wow. What's this?
This is the North Pole.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Where's the snow?
Buddy grins ecstatically.
Why are you smiling like that?
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Make work your favorite. That's your favorite, okay?
Okay.
Work is your new favorite.
Fine.
It's time for the announcement.
Okay,
people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God! Santa here? I know him. I know him.
He'll be here to take pictures with all the children.
Yeah.
Just keep your receipts. 10 a.m. tomorrow.
10 a.m. tomorrow.
Santa's coming to town.
Yes.
Can you sign this for me?
Buddy gawks at a guy in an elf outfit.
Hi. Santa's coming.
The floor manager and employee swap a look. As Buddy stares giddily, the overweight manager backs away with an appraising smirk. Now a display tree lights up. An ivory-skinned blonde woman in an elf costume stands on a ladder decorating the tree. Her name tag reads, Jovi. Buddy approaches.
Are you enjoying the view?
You are very good at decorating that tree.
Why are you messing with me? Did Krampa put you up to this?
I'm not messing with you. It's just nice to meet another human who shares my affinity for elf culture.
I'm just trying to get through the holidays.
Get through? Christmas is the greatest day in the whole wide world!
Please stop talking to me.
Uh-oh. Sounds like someone needs to sing a Christmas carol.
No way.
The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Thanks, but I don't sing.
Well, it's easy. It's just like talking, except louder and longer, and you move your voice up and down.
I can sing, but I just choose not to sing. Especially in front of other people.
Well, if you sing alone, you can sing in front of other people. There's no difference.
Actually, there's a big difference.
No, there isn't. Wait.
Buddy turns outward.
I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing.
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
Yes, there is.
Jovi cracks up.
No, it's not.
We sing all the time.
No, it's not.
Especially when we make toys. See?
Attention all Gimbel shoppers. Please make your final purchases. We'll be closing in 10 minutes.
Well, it's time for me to go home.
But Santa's coming. There's so much to do.
Yeah. I'll see you tomorrow.
Buddy.
Jovi.
Hi.
Jovi affects a little curtsy and walks off.
Jovi.
Now, lights inside Gimbel's turn off. As a security guard exits Santa Land, Buddy rolls sneakily past the Christmas tree. Now he peeks from behind some Elmo dolls. Next, he pulls the white stuffing out of a pillow, then hammers the fluff to the roofs of a gingerbread-style castle behind Santa's throne. Now, Buddy snips white paper, then strings lights around a column. Back at paper cutting, white scraps fly. Later, he dumps out a bin of plastic building blocks, then unfolds a paper chain of snowflakes. Now, he adds a crowning block to a miniature skyscraper, then punches red pegs into a light bright toy. Other light brights nearby each display a letter. One has a W, the other an S. Now, Buddy unrolls gold gift wrap and tears it off in big sheets. Now at a dining table, a brunette woman and a young boy eat. Walter grabs his plate.
I'm gonna eat in the bedroom, okay? I got a bunch of stuff to go over.
Are you sure?
I'm just way behind on a bunch of stuff.
The sad-faced woman watches him leave. The boy looks up hopefully.
Can I eat in my room?
No.
Why not? Dad's eating in his room. I got a bunch of homework to go over, and I'm way behind on a bunch of stuff.
You're eating here.
Now the familiar photo of Walter and Susan Wells shows on the page of a 60s-era yearbook. On one knee in the photo, the dashing young Walter plays a guitar. Susan leans her head on his shoulder. Walter gives a thoughtful nod. Now, morning sunlight shines on Gimbel's facade. Inside the dim store, Buddy hits a switch. White lights light up the Santa Land apartment. Cottony snow and golden bells decorate Santa's castle. Intricate paper-cut snowflakes hang by the hundreds. Buddy listens intently. He peers down a hall. Jovi stands in the shower.
So really I'd better scurry. Well, maybe just a half a drink more.
Buddy sits on the sink.
The neighbors might think. Say, what's in this drink? I wish I knew how to break the spell.
I'll take your hat, your hair looks
I ought to say no, no, no,
mind
sir.
If I move in?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Jovi peeks out from behind the curtain.
Get out! Don't look at me! Get out!
Covering his eyes, Buddy runs into a locker and drops flat. Outside, Walter strides along in a camel-hue overcoat. Passing the Gimbel's windows, he stops short. Behind the glass, Buddy lies cuddled up to a mechanical Christmas caroler, which lies on its side, repeatedly raising and lowering its hand. Walter cocks his head and stares at the grown man, cramped in the tiny living room set.
Outside, the snow is falling and friends are calling you.
Buddy wakes up and sees Walter looking in.
Dad, hi! It's me!
Buddy slaps the glass. Walter leaves. Now in the Empire State Building lobby, Buddy carries a present. He tries to play it cool as he passes the guards, but they see him.
Hey! It's okay, sir. I just have a gift for my dad.
Okay, I'll take this.
Okay, well, just make sure he knows it's from me, Buddy, his son, okay?
Okay.
And I love him so much, and I think he's the greatest dad in the world. You guys are so strong.
In Gimbel's, kids and grown-ups line up to enter the Santa Land department. A model train circles five skyscrapers made of plastic blocks. One is the Empire State Building. Another is the Chrysler Building.
Let's take that road before us and sing a chorus.
The floor manager stares at the display. Elsewhere, he faces seven light brights hanging from the ceiling, each aglow with one letter of the word welcome. An etch-a-sketch features the Mona Lisa.
Hey, you.
Hey.
Come here. I want to talk to you.
Now curling ribbons in her elf costume, Jovi spots Buddy.
What do you want to talk to me about?
How come you were in the women's locker room this morning?
I heard you singing.
You sure it had nothing to do with the fact that I was naked in the shower?
I didn't know you were naked. Why were you here so early?
They shut my water off. What were you doing here so early?
Building this.
You built this?
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of pissed about this.
Really?
Hey, guys.
Buddy looks around.
Have you seen the place?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good. It's a little too good. Corporate must have sent in a professional. I don't know why somebody's gunning for my job. But look, let's remain a team, okay? Because if I go, we all go. If you get wind of anything, call me on my radio. Channel 3. Code word is Santa's got a brand new bag, okay? 6-inch ribbon curls, honey.
That's impossible.
6 inches.
Jovi keeps working.
By the way, I think you have the most beautiful singing voice in the whole wide world.
Left alone with Jovi, Buddy shifts on his feet. Jovi gives a bashful smile. Something catches Buddy's eye.
Santa.
He glimpses a man in a Santa suit. Now, as the department store Santa surprises waiting children, Buddy hops up and down in front of the kids. As Santa sits in his throne, Buddy frowns.
Who the heck are you?
What are you talking about? I'm Santa Claus.
No, you're not.
Why, of course I am!
He bounces a boy on his knee.
Well, if you're Santa, what song did I sing for you on your birthday this year?
Happy birthday, of course! how old are you, son?
Buddy winces, defeated.
You're a big boy. What's your name? And what can I get you for Christmas?
Don't tell him what you want. He's a liar.
Let the kid talk.
You disgust me. How can you live with yourself?
Just cool it, Zippy.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Look, I'm not kidding.
You're a fake.
I'm a fake?
Yes.
How'd you like to be dead? Huh? No, he's kidding.
You stink.
I think you're gonna have a good Christmas, all right?
You smell like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa.
Okay.
Buddy yanks off Santa's beard.
He's an imposter!
The man tackles Buddy off the stage.
He's a fake! He's a fake!
Come here!
I swear!
Buddy escapes the pile of toppled tree decorations.
He's a fake!
The unmasked Santa tackles him into a table of toys. Now, as Buddy hides behind the toy skyscrapers, the Santa swings a pole like a baseball bat. He smashes the buildings to bits, and the children cheer. The floor manager arrives and gawks. He charges the Santa, and they both crash through the tables holding the models. Now, Walter reads a gift tag.
Something special.
He opens the gift from Buddy and finds a card inside. The words "To Dad" and a couple of hearts decorate the cover in crayon. The inside includes a drawing of a happy, curly-haired elf and the photo of Walter with Susan Wells. Two more words read, "Love, Buddy." Now, Walter checks under the gift box tissue paper and lifts out the sexy red and white Christmas lingerie. His secretary enters.
What's that?
Intercom.
Walter stows the lingerie and takes the call.
Yeah.
Mr. Hobbs, the police are on line one.
Police. Hello?
Now in a jail cramped with tough guys, Buddy sits alone in the back. As a guy smoking a cigarette plays solitaire, two more guys in front of Buddy do pull-ups. Words stenciled on the wall above Buddy's shoulder read, "No smoking, no spitting." Walter arrives.
Dad! I knew that you'd come. I love you for coming. Officer Tom, this is my dad. This is Walter. Okay? He bailed me out. They gave me one phone call. They gave me one phone call, and I said, I know who I'm going to call. Walter Hobbs. Sure enough, you showed up. You did. They said you weren't going to show up. They told me so many times.
Just who the heck are you, and what is your problem?
I'm Buddy. I'm your son.
Tell me.
He reaches into his pocket.
Where'd you get this picture?
Papa Elf gave it to me.
Walter pins Buddy to the wall.
Listen, this is some kind of game. What, do you want some money?
No, I just wanted to meet you, and I thought you might want to meet me.
Walter peers into Buddy's sincere and frightened gaze. He lets go, smiles, and walks off.
Who wouldn't want to meet you?
I thought maybe we could make gingerbread houses and eat cookie dough and go ice skating and maybe even hold hands.
Uh-huh. Come with me.
Okay.
As they near the metal detector at the station entrance, Buddy takes Walter's hand. The editor slaps it away.
Okay. What have we got here?
In a doctor's office. The barrel-chested doctor stares at Buddy, sitting before Walter. Buddy pops a cotton ball into his mouth and eats it. He eats another one.
Buddy, don't eat those.
As Buddy reaches, Walter grabs his arm. Buddy displays his empty right hand, then eats the cotton ball from his left.
You gotta really hurry up, Walter, because I'm double booked the rest of the afternoon.
Am I sick?
Yeah, but that's not what we're here. We're here to do a test. Come on.
What kind of test?
Just a test to find out if you're my son or not.
Why am I sitting on paper?
Because it's sanitary for the other patients. Now sit still so I can do the finger prick.
Finger prick!
The doctor sanitizes his finger.
It's cold.
Yeah, just please sit still, please.
Okay, can I listen to your necklace?
No, you can't. Can you just sit still?
Why is there a skeleton?
I don't know. What, Walter,
if I swim,
could you please,
looks like a pirate
could you please have him sit still so
name?
I can do this?
No, he hasn't got a name. I'm sorry,
Ben.
I'm sorry.
Waiting.
Would you please sit still? Please.
He got mad at me.
Yes, he did. He did. The sooner you sit still, the sooner we can get this mess over with.
Okay.
Then can we eat sugar plums?
You betcha. We'll eat sugar plums and gingerbread houses, and we'll even paint eggs.
Well, paint eggs. That's easier.
The doctor pricks him.
Ow!
Now in the waiting room.
My finger has a heartbeat.
Won't hurt so much after a little. What's your name?
Buddy.
I'm Carolyn.
Hi. What do you want for Christmas?
Sissy talks a lot.
I'll put in a good word with the big man.
Thanks. Your costume is pretty.
Oh, it's not a costume. I'm an elf. Well, technically I'm a human, but I was raised by elves.
Oh, I'm a human. Raised by humans.
Cool.
Buddy eats a cotton ball off his fingertip. Carolyn smiles. Now the doctor meets with Walter.
So? It's a boy.
What?
Buddy's your son.
That's very impossible. You saw that guy. He's certifiably insane.
He's probably just reverting to a state of childlike dependency.
An elf. What he needs is to be nurtured.
So, you'd like me to breastfeed him?
Well, to just bring him home, introduce him to Emily and Michael, and once he comes to terms with reality, he should drop the whole elf thing and move on with his life. I mean, that's what I would do if I were you.
Oh, my God, Walter, this is...
Now he and Emily exit an elevator.
It's wonderful. You have another son.
Wonderful. Gosh, I guess I never really thought of it that way.
This is incredible.
She unlocks their apartment.
You know, it's a little complicated, but it's nothing
honey,
that we can't handle.
Honey.
What?
He thinks he's an elf.
I'm sorry, what?
He thinks he's a Christmas elf.
Oh, come on, Walter. I'm sure he doesn't actually think he's an elf.
Paper snowflakes decorate the room.
And then I traveled to the seven levels of the candy cane forest.
Later.
Past the sea of swirly, twirly gumdrops. And then I walked through the Lincoln Tunnel.
They all eat dinner. Emily looks to Walter. Now, Buddy lifts a 2-liter bottle of Coca-Cola to his lips and slugs back the entire 2 liters. Michael stares up from his bowl of spaghetti.
So where were you for the last 30 years?
The North Pole.
Can you pass the maple syrup, please?
I didn't put... It's spaghetti.
I think I have some.
He produces a tiny bottle and adds it to his spaghetti.
You like sugar, huh?
Is there sugar in syrup?
Yes.
Then yes! We elves try to stick to the 4 main food groups. Candy, candy canes, candy corns, and syrup.
So, will you be staying with us then?
You mean I can stay?
Of course you can.
Emily.
How long do you think you'll be with us?
I hadn't really planned it out, but I was thinking, like, forever.
Emily, can I just speak to you for a minute in the kitchen, please?
In the kitchen, Walter faces Emily soberly.
Are you crazy? He cannot stay here.
Clearly, he has some serious issues. We can't just throw him out in the snow.
Why not? He loves the snow. He's told me 15 times.
Walter, he's your son.
At the table, Buddy opens wide.
You are so weird.
Now Buddy lies on his sofa bed.
Dad?
He holds the covers up to his chest.
Dad! Dad!
Walter flicks on the light.
What?
I can't go to sleep unless I get tucked in.
What?
I can't go to sleep unless I get tucked in.
I am not gonna tuck you in.
I promise I'll go right to sleep.
Walter gives a little nod and steps closer.
Fine.
With gentle jabs of his outstretched hands, he tucks the blankets alongside Buddy's legs. Buddy smiles ecstatically.
Tickle fight! Tickle
Buddy,
fight!
Stop!
Tickle fight! Tickle, stop! Stop!
Walter straightens.
Just lay there and go to sleep.
Okay.
Okay.
He heads off.
Dad?
Hmm?
I love you.
Walter musters a smile and nods.
Okay. Go to sleep now.
Walter leaves. The light goes out on Buddy's wistful gaze. Daytime. Emily sits at the breakfast table.
Well, this is really something. I'm usually the one making breakfast.
Buddy serves a plate of spaghetti and pours maple syrup on it.
That's good. That's good.
He screws on the cap.
Okay.
Flashing a smile, Emily twirls some spaghetti on her fork. Buddy watches expectantly as she tastes the dish.
Oh, that's good.
Good?
Good.
God.
So did you,
She chokes down a bite.
Did you sleep okay last night?
Great. I got a full 40 minutes. And I had time to build that rocking horse.
Oh, my gosh, you actually made that? Where did you get all the wood?
In the family room, the TV sits amid tools and scraps from an entertainment center. Walter enters, reading a magazine. His head brushes a paper chain streamer. He swats it down, then enters the kitchen.
Morning, honey.
Morning, Dad.
Walter.
Hmm?
Buddy has made us breakfast. Isn't that nice?
Mm.
And lunch.
Buddy hands her a bag of spaghetti.
Bye.
So, Dad, how many scoops?
I'll stick with the coffee now, thanks.
Buddy scrapes a plate off into a pot.
So, Dad.
He reads a list off an Etch-A-Sketch.
Plan out our whole day. First, we'll make snow angels for 2 hours, and then we'll go ice skating, and then we'll eat a whole roll of Toll House cookie dough as fast as we can, and then, to finish, we'll snuggle.
I've got to go to work, Buddy.
Buddy shakes the toy clean.
Another thing. If you're going to be staying here, you should think about, you know, getting rid of the costume.
But I've worn this my whole life.
You're not in the North Pole any longer. Look, you want to make me happy, don't you?
More than anything.
Then lose the tights. I mean, as soon as possible.
As soon as possible.
As soon as possible.
Okay.
As Buddy turns and peels his tights down to his ankles, Emily runs in.
I almost forgot my...
Now morning traffic fills the street as Walter exits past a doorman. He answers his cell phone.
Walter here.
It worked! It's you!
How'd you get this number?
Emily left an emergency list.
I see. And is this an emergency?
There's a horrible noise coming from the evil box underneath the window. It sounds like this.
It's not evil, Buddy. It's a radiator, and the heat makes noise when it comes on.
No, it doesn't. It's very evil. It's scary to look at.
He creeps toward the radiator.
Okay, I'm going toward... Oh, wait. Yes, it is. Okay, it's okay. It's okay. Everything's fine. You're right.
Okay, good. I'm going to hang up now.
I love you. We'll call you in 5 minutes.
No, but Buddy, don't... You don't have to call me, okay?
Good idea. You call me.
Okay, I'm going to hang up now.
I painted a picture of a butterfly.
Good. I'm going to hang up now.
I tuned the piano. Okay, I love you. Bye.
Buddy adds candy, marshmallows, and chocolate syrup to a plate of spaghetti and stuffs a huge bite into his mouth. He crumples up some Pop-Tarts on top and mushes everything together.
Mm.
Now a portly man strides into Walter's office.
Ops. Hey! How you doing?
Please sit down. I haven't seen you since the retreat. You're looking good.
Oh, thank you very much. You as well. What do I owe the pleasure?
To be honest, I got a call from my niece.
He opens a briefcase.
She wants to know
how a certain puppy and a certain pigeon escaped the clutches of a certain evil witch.
He shows us storybook's blank pages.
Believe me, we're already looking for new printers. This one has obviously gotten a little sloppy.
Maybe it isn't the printer that's gotten sloppy.
A signature marks a blank storyboard.
That's your signature, right?
You know, we could sit here and point fingers all day.
I've got news for you. Even if those two pages were in there, the book still would have sucked. Have you seen the numbers for this quarter?
They'll be here today.
They're in. That friggin' puppy and pigeon are tanking hard, Hobbs. My people estimate we're going to post a minus eight for this quarter. A minus eight! That does not happen!
You know, we'll bounce back.
No. We're going to ship a new book the first quarter.
First quarter?
I'm going to be back in town on the 24th. At that time, I would love to hear in exact detail what your plans are for this new book.
Wait a minute. The 24th, that's Christmas Eve.
Walter's boss stares.
And
no problem. Be great to have you in the loop.
Now Michael exits the school with two classmates.
All right, I got every weapon in the...
Across the street, Buddy sits on some steps.
Michael! It's me, Buddy!
The kids stare.
You know that guy?
No, I've never seen him before.
It's me, Buddy! Your brother!
Oh, man.
Michael takes off.
No, Michael! Wait! It's your brother, Buddy! Sorry!
Buddy runs in front of a cab.
Michael!
Michael strides down a sidewalk, gazing straight ahead.
Michael, wait up! Michael!
Now they cross a park.
Michael!
Wow, you're fast. I'm glad I caught up to you. I waited 5 hours for you. Why is your coat so big? So, good news. I saw a dog today. Have you seen a dog? You probably have. How was school? Was it fun? Did you get a lot of homework? Huh? Do you have any friends? Do you have a best friend? Does he have a big coat too?
Go away!
The kid throws a snowball from behind a rock.
Ow! Son of a nutcracker!
More kids pelt Michael with snowballs.
Run!
They sprint under more kids firing from a footridge.
Great God!
Michael and Buddy dive for cover behind a boulder. Snowballs spatter around them, spraying loose snow off the rock.
Oh no! These guys are bad news. We better get out of here.
Three kids on the bridge pin them down.
You know what? We can take them. Okay, just start making as many snowballs as you can.
Under a hail of enemy fire, Michael grabs some snow and shapes a ball with his gloved hands. He glances to Buddy, who now has an armful of snowballs.
You ready?
Michael gapes.
Let's go!
As Buddy rapidly flings snowballs one after the other, his arm moves in a blur. One barrage hammers the kid behind the rock. Another riddles the threesome on the bridge. With a diving leap, Buddy dodges a snowball and hits the fifth attacker on the head. Michael's jaw drops as the bully runs. He scans the park.
Oh, man. One got away.
Snowball.
A chubby kid runs down a jogging path. Michael gives his brother a snowball. Buddy takes aim, winds up, and pitches across the park. The chubby kid falls.
Wow.
Michael gazes up at Buddy.
Where did you say you were from?
Now the brothers charge into Gimbel's. Michael dodges left and right, then Buddy tags him. In the furniture department, Michael chases Buddy between dozens of bed displays. Buddy hops from bed to bed, bouncing off the springy mattresses. Michael bounces behind him. Later, in an elevator, they jump.
I wish Dad were here.
Why?
Because he's the greatest dad in the whole wide world.
Are you kidding? He's the worst dad in the world.
What do you mean?
All he does is work.
They head towards Santa Land.
Working's fun.
Not the way he does it. All he cares about is money. He doesn't care about you, or me, or anybody.
Well, he is on the naughty list.
Buddy stares toward kids lined up for Santa. Michael follows his gaze to Jovi.
You like her?
Like who?
Jovi notices them.
The girl you're staring at.
Oh, yeah.
Jovi smiles and gives an awkward wave.
Why don't you ask her out?
Out?
You know, on a date? To eat food?
Food?
Yes, real food, not candy. And if she says yes, you're in. It's like a secret code girls have.
Jovi comes over to them.
Look who it is.
Hi, Jovi.
Hi.
She glances at Michael, who smiles up at the two of them.
Oh, this is Michael.
I'm his brother.
She shakes his hand.
Hi. So what are you doing here? Did Gimbel's give you your job back?
No. But things worked out pretty good. They gave me a restraining order.
Well, you should probably get out of here.
Plain Santa, the floor manager, glares at Buddy.
But I really wanted to see you, and I think you're beautiful, and I feel really warm when I am around you, and my tongue swells up.
Jovi rests her chin on her knuckles. Michael scratches under his nose.
So, do you want to go eat food?
Do I want to eat food?
Mm-hmm. You know, the code.
He winks.
Food.
Jovi glances to Michael, who nods.
Well, I just had my lunch break.
Okay. I understand.
Then I'm free on Thursday.
Buddy's eyes widen.
Thursday!
Come on, that'd be great.
Michael ushers Buddy off.
All right.
Jovi waves. At home, Michael and Buddy lift a tree.
What should we put on it first?
Lights!
Oh, good. And then after that...
Ornaments.
The top bends at the ceiling. Walter enters.
What the hell's that?
A Christmas tree.
A Christmas tree?
Buddy dropped it down in the park.
Walter leaves with a sickly frown.
Emily?
In the bedroom.
I don't know what you're making such a big deal about. They were just having a little fun.
Fun. So felonies are fun now. I thought, see, felonies were felonies.
Okay, the tree thing was bad. I'll get him to plan another one. But at least Michael is happy for once.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, I don't think it's any secret, Walter, that you haven't exactly been there for him.
Tell you what, why don't we just pull him out of school and let the deranged elf man raise him? Then they can have lots of fun committing felonies.
How are we going to get the star on top?
I got it.
In the family room, Buddy takes the star tree topper. With a running start, he hops on the couch and springs onto the tree. It falls. In his room, Walter lies on his bed.
I mean, what are we going to do? We can't leave him alone here. He's going to destroy the place. Why don't you take off tomorrow? You know, and you could stay home and watch him.
Oh, no, I can't stay home tomorrow. I have a budget meeting tomorrow.
Well, honey, I can't take off. I'm one bad pitch away from getting fired. One.
Well, I tell you what, I have an idea then. Why don't you take Buddy to work with you?
Now, elevator doors open. Walter and Buddy, both wearing tan coats over their business suits, step off.
Hey, Walter.
Morning, Jack.
Morning, Jack.
They cross through a workspace.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Hobbs.
Morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Sarah. It's a nice purple dress. It's very purpley.
Francisco?
How's it going, Mr. Hobbs?
Francisco, that's fun to say. Francisco.
Buddy spots Walter's secretary.
Hi.
Hey.
Do you remember me?
I do. I didn't recognize you.
I know. I'm in work clothes.
Walter pulls him into his office. Later, she brings in two coffee mugs.
Thank you, Deborah.
Buddy sits in a corner.
Deb, you have such a pretty face. You should be on a Christmas card.
You just made my day.
Sitting on a tiny stool with a stuffed pig head, Buddy takes a sip from his mug. He winces.
Ugh.
Frowning, he takes another sip.
Buddy, You don't have to drink that.
Thank you.
He sets the coffee aside and opens a storybook titled Pygmalion. Its cover shows a pig in a yellow gown under a starry sky. Buddy turns a page.
Francisco.
Buddy?
Am I too loud?
Just a little.
Sorry.
He raises his hand. Walter looks up from his paperwork.
Yes, bud.
Why is your name on the desk?
I bought the desk. My name's there so no one steals it.
That's a joke, isn't it, Dad?
Yeah, buddy, that's a joke.
So, what are we gonna build?
We don't do that kind of work here, pal.
Buddy lunges for the phone.
Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color? Put that down.
Hello? Please, don't touch anything.
Sorry.
Walter regards his son's sad, sheepish gaze thoughtfully. He jumps to his feet and wags a forefinger excitedly.
But
Have you ever seen a mailroom?
A mailroom? No.
No?
No.
Oh, I mean, wow. Wow. Listen, it's a place where mail from all over the world comes.
Huh?
And they sort it out there, see? And you can touch it all, and they put it in these shiny bins.
Shiny bins?
Right. What do you think?
That sounds great.
Good.
Can we go there?
Well, I gotta work here. Maybe you can work there.
Okay, I'll work there.
Now in a dreary mailroom, Buddy follows a slick-haired man.
Oh, I don't think this is the place my dad was talking about. Is there a different mailroom?
No, this is the only one.
It's not very shiny.
No, over here's the trench.
Mail slides into a bin.
All the mail comes out that shooter. Scan and find the floor each piece is moving to. Put it in a canister and shove it up the tube with the same number. You got that?
I think so. This place reminds me of Santa's workshop. Except it smells like mushrooms and everyone looks like they want to hurt me.
In Walter's office.
Greenway's coming in tomorrow, so what? What do we got?
Well, Morris and I have been brainstorming, and we've come up with what I think is a pretty big idea.
Great, what?
You're gonna love it. It's fantastic.
What?
Okay, picture this. We bring in Miles Finch.
The employees smile gleefully.
The Miles Finch?
The Golden Ghost.
We bring him in!
He's written more classics than Dr. Seuss. It ain't gonna be easy, but I think it's worth a shot. Mm.
My two top writers, my crack team, my fun squad. You came in here pitching me the idea of hiring another writer.
Yeah.
Miles Finch.
As the writers shrug, Walter stares at them.
I like it.
He leans back in his chair.
I like it.
In the mailroom.
Then I traveled through the seven levels of the candy cane forest and past a sea of swirly, twirly gumdrops.
Ooh.
Buddy inserts a canister into the suction tube.
It's sucky.
He puts his hand under the vacuum.
Wonderful.
Then
yes.
Tilts his head below.
That is marvelous how that...
His cheek sticks to the tube.
Oh, it's very sucky. It's very sucky.
Whew. Buddy frees his face.
So how'd you get here?
Work release.
The long-haired worker pours liquor into a mug.
Syrup and coffee? Why didn't I think of that? Can I try some?
Be my guest.
Very generous of you.
Buddy takes the brown flask-shaped bottle.
I love syrup.
He empties all of it into the mug.
Oh, I love it.
He cradles the cup in his palms.
You know I sound like a broken record, but we are buddies. You're my best friend. That's it. You're my best friend.
You know, buddy, nobody around here listens to me. I got really good ideas.
I believe it. I know. I'm right. I listen to you. You have great ideas.
I just try to go to the flow,
good.
You know?
Go with the flow.
Yeah.
Go with the flow.
No, I got to get out of the flow.
Well, then get out.
I'm in the flow. That's what got me here. Oh. I'm 26 years old. I got nothing to show for.
You're young. You're so young. My papa,
yeah.
He didn't make Master Tinker till he was 490.
My favorite book of yours has got to be Gus's Pickles.
In Walter's office.
It's existential, yet it's so accessible.
Mr. Finch, Eugene Dupree here. It's a thrill just to be talking to you on our speakerphone.
Miles, so what do you think? Can you fly in tomorrow?
I'll give you 5 hours tomorrow, not a minute more.
Oh, that's great.
I'd like a black S500 to receive me at the airport. I need the interior of that car to be 71 degrees exactly.
We can do that.
Mr. Hobbs, there's a situation downstairs.
I'm sorry, what?
No, hold on, Miles. Deb, hang up.
I do not hold. Do not put me on hold.
We have a problem in the mailroom.
What's going on? Don't speak. Deborah, hang up.
That's it. I'm gone.
Miles!
The writers sink their heads, and Walter clenches his fist.
I'll be there tomorrow. 71 degrees.
Sir, Chuck in the mailroom needs to talk to you.
Walter picks up the receiver.
What, Chuck? I mean, what could be going on down here that's so important you had to interrupt me? What?
In the mailroom, Buddy performs on a table. Like a Russian folk dancer, he taps his ankles to his palms, slaps his thighs, then kicks his feet out. As his co-workers cheer, Buddy leaps up and spreads his legs midair. Now, leaning back on one hand, he kicks his legs out, then switches palms. In between the speedy kicks, Buddy claps. In his office, Walter holds the phone to his ear. With a tense brow, he hangs up. Now in an apartment, Jovi hurries to an intercom.
Coming.
She steps outside in a black skirt, purple sweater, and wool-lined coat.
You make me feel so young.
You look miraculous.
So do you.
Thank you.
What would you like to do?
I got some ideas.
Wearing a suit and fur hat, he walks away. Jovi knits her brow, then follows. In a diner.
Just reach out in front of you and take a sip. Don't look.
With a blindfold over her eyes, Jovi lifts a coffee mug to her lips. She takes a drink.
Well?
She grimaces.
It tastes like a crappy cup of coffee.
No.
Jovi removes the blindfold.
It is a crappy cup of coffee.
No, it's the world's best cup of coffee.
The trick is to not get your arm caught in the door. Also,
Buddy runs in the revolving door.
Then you'll get sick, okay? When you feel comfortable, you just jump in.
Later.
You make me feel there are songs to be
sung. Holding Jovi's hand, he skips down a sidewalk.
Wait, one more. Now look at the size of this one.
Buddy points through a window to a decorated Christmas tree. He beams with joy.
I'm gonna feel the way I do. Come with me.
Now they run across a street.
Watch out! Yellow ones don't stop!
Grinning, Jovi leads him to Rockefeller Center. Ahead, a lit Christmas tree stands more than 8 stories tall.
Feel so young.
Wow. That's a big one.
As Jovi nods, she and Buddy swap cheerful looks. Now in front of the Prometheus statue, Buddy and Jovi ice skate, holding hands. As they slow down, Buddy kisses Jovi's cheek. She gazes up at him.
Sorry.
You missed.
What do you mean I missed?
You missed.
Jovi draws Buddy into a kiss on the lips. As they separate, Buddy smiles. He leans in for another kiss, and a circle closes in on them. Now at Greenway Press, the elevator opens before the front desk. The doors close. Employees look out from an office.
Miles Finch.
Miles Finch.
Someone in a stylish suit walks past them.
Miles Finch.
The author enters a conference room, revealing his 4-foot stature.
All right, let's do this. Miles, I'm so happy you could come. I'm Walter Hobbs.
Yeah, let's get the taken care of so we can get started here.
Here you go.
Miles takes an envelope from Walter and checks its contents.
Great. All right. What have you guys got so far?
Okay. We were thinking something like this. We open on a young tomato. He's had some tough times down at the farm. You know, rabbits.
No. And no tomatoes. Too vulnerable. Kids, they're already vulnerable.
No, you see, I told you guys. I told them the very same
thing. No farms. Everybody's pushing small town rural. Farm book would just be white noise.
Oh, what about this? A tribe of asparagus children, but they're self-conscious about the way their pee smells.
Eugene waves his hands in front of his face. Miles gapes.
Apparently, all we have is vegetables. I have no time, so, you know, you can see right there.
I've got about 5 or 6 great starts here.
He taps a notebook.
I got one idea that I'm especially psyched out of my mind about. You know, it's one of those ideas where you're just like, yes!
Great, could we hear it?
I'll start with the cover. Picture this.
Buddy bursts in.
I'm in love, and I don't care who knows it.
Buddy, not now. Can you please go back to the pit? I'll come visit you in a little while, okay?
I didn't know you had elves working here.
Miles eyes him.
Boy, you're hilarious, my friend.
He doesn't. Get back to the story, please.
So, on the cover above the title.
Does Santa know that you left the workshop?
You know, we're all laughing our heads off.
Did you have to borrow a reindeer to get down here?
Buddy, go back to the basement.
Hey, Jackweed, I get more action in a week than you've had your entire life. I've got houses in L.A., Paris, and Vail.
Oh.
Each one of them with a 70-inch plasma screen. So I suggest you wipe that stupid smile off your face before I come over there and smack it off. You feeling strong, my friend? Call me Elf one more time.
Miles lifts his palm and gestures Buddy forward. Buddy looks to the others.
He's an angry elf.
Miles climbs onto the table and charges across. Buddy spreads his arms.
Look at you!
Miles leaps up and boots him in the stomach.
Ow!
The author pulls Buddy down.
I wasn't ready for that.
Twisting Buddy's arm, Miles flips him onto the table, then restrains him in a chokehold.
Ooh. Call me Elf one more time. Call me Elf.
You're an elf.
Miles twists Buddy's neck and throws him into a wall. As a painting falls, the furious author crosses the room.
Miles, I'm sorry. He thinks he's an elf.
Miles turns away.
Listen, Miles.
The author storms out.
He must be a South Pole elf.
As Buddy rises to his feet, Walter points at him.
You get the hell out of here.
Where do you want me to go?
I don't care where you go. I don't care that you're an elf. I don't care that you're nuts. I don't care that you're my son. Get out of my life! Now!
With a wounded look, Buddy runs out of the room. As Deborah and Eugene turn to Walter, Morris lowers his head. Nighttime. Emily talks on a cell as she carries shopping bags.
Hi, it's me.
I really can't talk right now.
Well, just tell me how the pitch went.
I'm gonna be a little later than I thought, okay?
Well, don't be too late, Walter. It's Christmas Eve.
Walter. Wait, honey, I gotta go, okay? Love you.
In Walter's office.
What?
Walter, breakthrough. We found this in the conference room.
What is it?
It's Miles Finch's notebook.
This thing is chock full of genius ideas. I mean, look at that.
And his best idea is about a peach that lives on a farm. What's more vulnerable than a peach?
What, though? What do we do?
I think we should go with the first pitch. It's genius.
How much time we got?
We got like 45 minutes.
Well, come on, let's try to get a storyboard or something ready.
Come on, let's do it.
Let's try. No, you can't sit down and get a storyboard ready. Go and get a storyboard ready.
The employees rush out. Now at the Hobbs, Buddy writes a note using an Etch-A-Sketch.
I'm sorry I ruined your lives and crammed 11 cookies into the VCR.
I don't belong here. I don't belong anywhere.
Back in Walter's office.
I'll never forget you. Love, Buddy.
He covers his face. Outside, Buddy, in his frock coat and tights, walks with his arms folded and his head down. A stranger knocks into him and keeps walking. Now Michael comes home.
Hey, Buddy.
The snow globe and Etch-A-Sketch sit on a table.
Buddy.
The boy sets his keys and a few presents down, then picks up the snow globe, now at Greenway Press.
As you know, we need a big launch fast to get the company back on track. So I think I speak for my fellow board members when I say, this better be good.
Before I get into the story, let me start with the cover, okay? Now, just picture this.
Dad, I gotta talk to you.
Michael, what is it?
Buddy ran away.
What?
He left a note. I'm scared, Dad. He's gone.
Let me just finish this meeting and then we'll figure it out, okay?
Figure out what? Buddy cares about everybody. All you care about is yourself.
Michael heads to the door.
Hey, Michael.
He turns around.
Wait.
Laying a portfolio on the table, Walter faces Greenway and the board members.
We're going to have to reschedule this, Mr. Greenway.
We don't have time to reschedule. I want to hear the damn thing now. Son, you'll have to wait.
Don't tell my kid what to do. Can't we do this another time, Mr. Greenway?
I flew in just to hear this pitch, and I intend to.
It's gonna have to wait.
If you want to keep your job, Hobbs, you will pitch me this book right now.
Walter pensively gazes at his son. As Michael gives him a slight smile, Walter nods and walks toward him.
Up yours.
Yeah, up yours.
The father bumps fists with his son, then leaves.
Hobbs! Hobbs! Hobbs, you walk out of here and you're finished at Greenway. You're finished.
Now on a suspension bridge, Buddy walks gloomily along a railing. Behind him, snow falls before illuminated skyscrapers. With his head bowed, Buddy rests his hands on the metal rails and gazes distantly. A stiff wind rustles the white fur on his collar.
I don't belong anywhere.
Meanwhile, Walter and Michael head down a sidewalk.
Buddy!
On the bridge, Buddy tilts his head back and closes his eyes. As he opens them, he stares up at the sky with a puzzled frown. Flashes light up the clouds and a sleigh flies out. Buddy squints.
Santa?
The sleigh falters.
Come on, you can do it.
With smoke trailing from the engine, Santa lowers in the sky. Buddy takes off running. Above, flames sputter out of the back of the sleigh, and it dives downward. Michael spots it.
Dad!
What? Michael, where are you going? Michael!
Walter jogs after his son. Meanwhile, in a park, Buddy runs past pine trees. Turning onto a paved path, he stops and releases a visible breath. Ahead, in a leaf-covered clearing, Santa's reindeer stand before the sleigh. Buddy climbs over a short fence and hurries toward the animals.
Santa!
Back off, Slick. Who's got the deer?
Buddy slips.
Buddy, is that you?
Are you okay?
Boy, am I glad to see you. The clausometer suddenly just dropped down to zero. There's just no Christmas spirit anymore. The strain was too much. The engine broke free of her mounts.
Santa hooks his brow. He turns and stares at Buddy.
I need an elf's help.
I'm not an elf, Santa. I can't do anything right.
Buddy, you're more of an elf than anyone I ever met. And the only one who I would want working on my sleigh tonight.
Really?
Really? Will you fix it for me, Buddy?
I'll try. Papa taught me how.
You gotta find it first. It dropped off the sleigh back over there a ways.
The engine.
The engine. Yeah. Go, Buddy. Go, Mr. Elf.
Now a dark-haired reporter appears on TV.
I'm standing here outside Central Park where it is unclear exactly what has happened. What we do know is that...
In her small apartment, Jovi enters the living room with a bowl of noodles and sits facing the TV.
What we agree on here is that they saw something fall from the sky. I've got an eyewitness with me who claims to have seen the whole thing firsthand. What did you actually see?
You know, I was walking around, I saw this thing, and my daughter actually pointed it out.
Oh, your daughter saw it? Yeah. Sweetheart, can you tell me what you saw falling out of the sky?
It was Santa's sleigh.
Jovi smiles slightly.
Santa's sleigh, well, there you have it. Santa's in Manhattan.
Sorry to interrupt your first big news story, Charlotte, but New York One has just received some exclusive amateur news footage that you just might want to follow up on. There seems to be a strange man dressed as an elf wandering through Central Park.
Jovi's eyes widen and her chopstick noodles hover near her mouth.
But here in New York One, news is top priority.
In the park, Michael and Walter run through the trees to a small clearing. The sleigh's bullet-shaped engine steams in the mud.
What the heck?
They study it.
Hey!
Buddy arrives.
You found it.
Buddy!
Michael runs to Buddy and throws his arms around him. As Walter looks on, Buddy meets his sad-eyed gaze.
I need to tell you something.
No, Buddy, there's something I have to tell you right now. I didn't mean anything I said back there, not a word. I know you may be a little, chemically imbalanced, but you've been right about a lot of things. I don't want you to leave. You're my son, and I love you.
With a wide grin, Buddy throws his arms around his dad. Walter pats his back. Buddy squeezes him tighter.
Buddy, what was it you wanted to tell me?
Oh, right. Come with me.
Right.
Come on.
Buddy leads them to an opening in the trees and shows them the clearing with Santa's sleigh.
I'm here with another eyewitness who has his own version of what happened. Sir, what did you see?
I think you're great, Charlotte. I saw something fall from the sky right in the middle of Central Park. I mean, you're a great news lady.
On Jovi's TV.
Could you tell me a bit more about what you saw fall from the sky?
Yeah. Your eyes tell the story. That's what I love about you. You got a great mouth. The thing just dropped in the middle of Central Park.
As Jovi's noodles sit uneaten, the door closes on her empty apartment.
According to authorities, the area has been cleared. Only the Central Park Rangers now...
Black horses rear restlessly.
These horses are highly trained, but rarely see action. Some have accused them of being too gung-ho when called into duty, and their controversial crowd control tactics at the Simon & Garfunkel concert in 85 are still under investigation.
With Santa.
I knew you'd find it, Mr. Elf. Slap it on real quick. We've got to get going.
Buddy takes the engine to the rear underside of the sleigh.
Attaboy.
Turning away, Santa comes face to face with Walter.
So, you're
Santa Claus.
Right.
As Michael looks on, Santa hands Walter a red toolbox.
Would you mind taking this to your firstborn?
Sure. And my firstborn, he's an elf.
Actually, I'm adopted.
Walter and Buddy go to the engine.
Michael, would you open this hatch for me, please?
The boy nods and climbs into the sleigh. He lifts a hatch in the floorboard under a sack of toys. Under the hatch...
Attaboy, thank you.
Buddy attaches the engine.
So, you're really Santa Claus?
You never can tell, kid. Tell me, Michael, what do you want for Christmas?
I wanted a skateboard.
Santa opens a thick book.
Not just a skateboard. A real huffboard. Looky here.
Santa shows Michael his place on the list.
How you like them apples? Go look and see.
Santa nods toward the sack. Michael pulls out a skateboard with an American flag design.
Whoa.
The clausometer needle jumps to 30. The sleigh levitates briefly, then lands.
What happened?
You made my sleigh fly.
What do you mean?
Well, before the turbine days, this baby used to run solely on Christmas spirit. You believed in me. You made my sleigh fly.
Hold it. If you're really Santa Claus, then we can just get some news cameras in here and everyone will believe in you. Then your sleigh will fly, right?
Christmas spirit is about believing, not seeing. The whole world saw me, all would be lost. The paparazzi have been trying to nail me for years.
Michael looks across the park.
Hey, look!
On a stone castle-like structure, four darkly clad men sit on black horses.
Oh, no. It's the Central Park Rangers.
The riders turn their horses, and they break into a purposeful gallop.
Dad! Michael! I got a plan.
The Rangers drive their horses over a hill and down a steep, snow-dusted slope. At the sleigh, Michael grabs Santa's book and runs.
Whoa, wait! Wait, Michael! My list! You bring that list back right now! You hear me?
Come on, give me a hat and coat.
Mrs. Claus made them for me.
As the horsemen ride through a glade, Walter approaches, wearing Santa's hat and coat.
Hey! Hey, here I am!
He lifts his arms as the horses speed toward him.
Ho, ho, ho! Hey, ho, ho, ho!
The Rangers ride past Walter, nearly hitting him. Now Michael reaches the edge of the park. Clutching the list, he ducks under a police barricade and darts through the crowd.
Excuse me.
Charlotte interviews a cop.
Excuse me. So the authorities have not discovered any reindeer in the park?
No reindeer.
Sleigh bells?
No sleigh bells either.
Elves?
Michael reaches her.
We really just need everyone...
It's him! It's the real Santa! His sleigh won't fly because nobody believes in him!
At home, Emily sees Michael on TV.
Santa needs us to believe. I can prove he's real. Look, this is his list.
Emily leaves.
Okay, well, further confirmation that there has been a Santa sighting tonight. We have an Audie and Nice list.
Then Kessler wants a Powerpuff Girls playset. Mark Webber wants an electric guitar.
Yes!
Carolyn Reynolds wants a Susie Talks Lot.
Thanks, buddy.
Dirk Lawson wants a day of pampering at Burke Williams Spa.
At a crowded biker bar, the patrons stare at a stout, bearded man in black.
Must be another Dirk Lawson.
Dave Kecker wants some Nike Shocks.
Okay, obviously we have a new development in the story, confirmation that Santa must have been sighted because we have his book right here.
What's your name?
I'm Charlotte Denon, New York One.
D. Charlotte Denon wants a Tiffany engagement ring and for her boyfriend to stop dragging his feet and commit already.
Oh!
Charlotte's smile fades. At the sleigh, the clausometer lights up.
We've got power!
Charlotte gestures at the cameraman, and the lights blink out.
Hey, turn the cameras back on!
Who told you to say that?
It's the real Santa. We need to get these cameras back on. He needs our help!
Jovi arrives.
Hey, Michael, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. But buddy, he's in a park with Santa. The sleigh won't fly because there's no Christmas spirit.
Michael!
Mom!
Michael!
Emily and Michael meet in the crowd and hug.
Are you okay? I'm fine.
The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Jovi lets out a reluctant sigh. Now the Rangers' horses approach the sleigh.
Buddy, you gotta get going. Get in now!
Santa, I'm not done with the engine yet!
Can't wait! Undecker!
I'm not done with the engine!
Santa pulls away, leaving Buddy flailing on the ground. Buddy stands.
That's okay. You get started, I'll catch up.
Grabbing the toolbox, he runs after the sleigh. In the crowd, Walter joins Emily and Michael.
You know, he wasn't lying.
Emily beams.
Merry Christmas.
Now Buddy reaches the rising sleigh, throws in the toolbox, and grabs onto the back.
Santa, I got up!
Stop messing around and get in!
The sleigh bumps hard, sending Buddy over the edge and into the back. He winces and holds his head. The Rangers follow close behind.
Santa, why are they chasing us?
I put them on the naughty list and they never forgave me.
At the edge of the crowd, Jovi gets in a white carriage and stands facing the others.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout.
The people stop talking and turn to listen.
Santa Claus is coming to
Meanwhile,
town.
The speeding sleigh flies a few feet off the ground. The horsemen give chase. The sleigh's undercarriage hits a rock.
Up, pull up! Buddy! We need power! We're gonna crash!
Buddy reaches through the hatch for the engine. In the crowd, people give slight smiles and bob their heads.
Naughty and nice, Santa Claus is coming to town.
Emily takes a deep breath.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out.
You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Now the clausometer needle rises towards 60. As Buddy digs through the toolbox, a jack-in-the-box pops open in his face. The horsemen continue their pursuit. Now the engine shocks Buddy. The sleigh approaches a tall statue of an angel. Santa narrows his eyes.
I'm getting too old for this job.
Now!
Santa pushes a button labeled Start, and flames shoot out the back of the engine. As the sleigh ascends sharply, Santa and Buddy grin. The sleigh skims the top of the statue, and an angel wing knocks the engine off.
The engine's gone!
We're toast!
The sleigh dips briefly onto a footbridge, waking a homeless man. At Greenway, Walter's staff watches the news.
Well, still no sign of Santa, but some...
More employees watch in the mailroom. The Gimbel staff watches. In bed, Carolyn sings along.
When you're sleeping, he knows if you're awake.
He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for
The mailroom guys lift their arms in unison.
Hey!
With the security guards.
You better not
Deb and the writers.
Come on!
At Gimbel's, the floor manager and elves form a kick-clack.
Get the loophole!
The clausometer needle jiggles near 90. The sleigh banks sharply, then bounces off the ground. In the crowd, Walter mouths along with the singers. Michael faces him.
Wait, you're not singing.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not. You're just moving your lips.
Santa!
Michael, please, what's the big deal?
Dad?
Santa Claus is coming to town.
As Walter raises his arms, the sleigh soars over his head. The clausometer needle jumps to 100, and the sleigh rises several stories. The Rangers arrive and stop at the crowd's edge. Buddy peers out the back of the sleigh. From the carriage, Jovi gives him an affectionate smile. Walter and Emily smile as well, and Michael waves.
Bye-bye!
Just like the old days!
Charlotte? Charlotte?
Charlotte gapes.
Well,
I guess we'll never know for sure what happened this Christmas Eve in Central Park.
Merry Christmas!
Santa's sleigh flies over a city street, then banks past the Empire State Building.
And so, with a little help, Buddy managed to save Christmas. And his spirit saved a lot of other people, too.
In the Hobbs home, Jovi sits with Walter at a piano. On the couch, Buddy unwraps a jug of syrup, then hugs Emily and Michael.
Walter started his own independent publishing company. His first book was written by a brand new, critically acclaimed children's author. The book was Elf, a fictional story about an adopted elf named Buddy, who was raised in the North Pole, went to New York, ate spaghetti, worked in a shiny mailroom, and eventually saved Christmas.
First, I traveled through the seven levels.
In a store, Buddy reads to a group of children.
Past the sea of twirly, swirly gumdrops, and then I walked through the Lincoln Tunnel.
And as for me, I can't complain. Buddy comes up to visit from time to time.
Now Jovi, wearing a pink elf dress and red pointy shoes, takes a small pitcher of milk from an icebox and brings it to Papa.
Oh, thank you, Jovi. That's very sweet of you.
You're welcome, Papa.
Buddy holds a baby wearing an elf hat embroidered with the name...
Hi, Susie.
Come here, little one.
Buddy approaches with the baby.
Puppy wants to see you.
Buddy sits on Papa's lap.
Buddy!
As Buddy and Jovi share a loving smile, the image turns into a storybook illustration. The next page reads, "The End." Leon the snowman shuts the large back cover like a door. He looks at us, touches his cane to his hat, and winks.
In the meadow we can build a snowman and pretend that he's passing round. He'll say, "Are you married?" We'll say, "No, man." But you can do the job when you're in town, brother. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we made. Walking in the winter wonderland. Walking in the winter wonderland.
I really can't
stay. But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been.
I'm hoping that you drop
so
in.
Very nice.
Hold your hands there just like I.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your hurry?
And father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to that fireplace roar.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't hurry.
Maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some records on while I pour.
The neighbors might think.
Baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this
no
drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew
rising
how
like starlight
to
now.
Break the spell.
I'll take your hat, your hair looks well.
I ought to say.
Mind
no,
if I move in closer?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense in hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold on.
Oh, but it's cold
outside.
I simply must go.
Baby, it's cold outside.
The answer is
baby,
no.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This welcome has been
how lucky that you
so
dropped in.
Nice and warm.
Look out the window where that storm.
My sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips look delicious.
My brother will be there at the door.
Waves upon tropical shore.
My maiden aunt's mind is vicious.
Boy, your lips look delicious.
Well, maybe just a cigarette.
Never such a blizzard before.
I've got to get home.
Baby, you'll freeze out there.
Say, lend me your coat.
It's up to your knees out there.
You've really been great.
I'll say when you touch my hair.
Don't you see?
How can you do this thing to me?
There's bound to be talk tomorrow.
Think of my lifelong sorrow.
At least there will be plenty in flight.
fly.
If you caught pneumonia and I
really can't stay,
get rid of that holdout. I'm